Right, well, hello. It's lovely to be back. It's nice to see you after my time in Australia. A while back, Amal asked me to give a message and asked me to speak on whatever's on my heart. In all honesty, I was a little bit terrified when he said that because I've only given youth talks in Australia. I haven't spoken to a whole congregation like this. So if I make a mistake, do forgive me. But I wrote a talk pretty much immediately, but then I'm going through the Bible in a year, and I restarted the Psalms, and I read Psalm 1 again, and I thought, you know, I really feel God's prompting for me to speak on this. So before I start, I do want to say that I'm aware that this psalm is actually a messianic psalm. It points towards Jesus. The one that this psalm is talking about is actually Jesus, and it's closely linked with Psalm 2. However, this psalm is also clearly applicable to us as Christians and our walk with God. The main purpose of me sharing this psalm with you is talking about some of the ways that God has changed me in my faith and my Bible reading over the past 6 months in view of being a Christian. Hence, the title of this talk being called Planting Yourself in God's Word. So thank you, Joshua, for reading Psalm 1 for us. So I'll just get straight into it. The first time I remember intentionally reading this psalm was after a period of coming out of inconsistent Bible reading. But the second time, it hit differently because I was in a period of consistent Bible reading. And when I returned to this psalm, I felt and understood the truth of the psalm. But those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So I'll be looking at three points from these two verses. The first is delighting in the law of the Lord. The second, meditating on his law day and night. And the third, trees. A little bit interesting, but you'll understand where I'm coming from when I get to it. So kicking off with the law of the Lord, I want you to think for a second. What do you take delight in? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Any kids want to give an answer? What do you take delight in? What do you find joy in? Where do you find your happiness? Anybody? Yes? In God, that's a really good answer. I wasn't expecting, but it's a good answer. It's a good answer. Okay, one of the things I take delight in is taking my paddleboard down to the river. This was one of the first things I did when I got home from Australia. I then proceeded to ask my parents, if I ask you, what do you take delight in, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I first asked my dad the question. He paused and pretended that he was contemplating his answer, and then said, pens. If you want to chat to my dad about pens after the service, then do feel free. I'm sure he'd take delight in that conversation. I then asked my mum the question, and she said, Bella, our dog, and tea. Two very different people, as you can see. Funnily enough, though, they didn't say law. In fact, I don't think they'd have even come close to saying that answer. So the first time I read, take delight in the law of the Lord, I thought, who on earth takes delight in law? Fast forward 6 months and oh, how I was wrong. First off, this is not just any law, but it's the law of the Lord. This law is the best law ever created. The most loving, caring, protecting and prospering law ever written. The perfect law. We must understand that God's law isn't a limiting law. This law gives us freedom. It doesn't enslave us. Without laws, chaos breaks out. Because as humans, we naturally have selfish desires that can contradict those of others. I saw this on a personal basis as I drifted away from God between the ages of 15 and 17. I was not living as a Christian should, and during this time I learned a very valuable lesson. I thought that freedom was listening to my voice, but not God's voice. But after a while, I realized that continually acting on my selfish desires led to me being enslaved. It's only when I stopped finding as much satisfaction and understood that they were never going to fulfill me that I learned how trapped that I was. And as I slowly turned away from this, which was not an easy thing, because these desires had a firm grip on me, I began to understand something, that the Lord's law is perfect. And I've now learned that despite me not always understanding God's rules and understanding the laws of the Bible, they are perfect. They're there for a reason, and I shouldn't question them. Psalm 18:30 says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." In addition to an individual spiritual basis, God's law is also there for the protection and the care of others. At the Bridge Church, the church I was working at over in Australia, in term two, we were looking through the book of Leviticus. And wow, that gave me a new insight on the law of the Lord. The amount of times God's law gives provision for the poor and for the needy is amazing. "Don't show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great," Leviticus 19:15. Jubilee laws, where debt was forgiven and land was returned, Leviticus 25. No interest loans, Leviticus 25:35-37. That doesn't happen today. God's law benefited the Israelites in every single aspect, mentally, spiritually, physically, and economically. Yes, some of these laws are no longer applicable to us today. We live in a different society, and Jesus has fulfilled those laws. But the point is, the law of the Lord, which is now the entirety of God's word, not just the Old Testament laws, aren't something we should be daunted by. It's something that we should rejoice in, something that we should take delight in. Delighting in God's word has been a huge change for me over the past 6 months. The first time I read this psalm, I was reading it because reading the Bible is what Christians do. I knew that it was good for me. But the second time I read it, I truly understood it. I look forward to opening my Bible now. Why? Firstly, because I know that Christ is changing and shaping me through his word into the Christ follower he wants me to be. And he does the same for you. Secondly, because I'm seeing and experiencing the benefits of rooting myself in God's word. I can see it real time in my life. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. That means when you read it, it really does change you. The Holy Spirit does his work in you as you read God's word. Okay, my second point, meditating on his law day and night. As you look at the second half of verse 2, it says, "And who meditates on his law day and night." Revisiting and meditating on scripture is essential for gaining understanding of God's character and how you should walk righteously and pursue holiness and purity. Notice how Psalm 1 hit me harder the second time that I read it. And I dwelt on the significance of how it was directly applicable to my walk with God. Often we can read scripture and not think of it much the first time we read it. But when we go over it again, the Holy Spirit reveals something new to us that we didn't see before. This is exactly why the Bible isn't just a one-time read, it's a lifelong commitment of spending time in God's Word. Further still, you don't read the Bible like a normal book. You also meditate on it. In the Message translation, it says you chew on it day and night. I also love how Tim Keller describes it. He says, "Meditation is taking the truths of the Bible and pressing it down into the very base of your heart until it catches fire." Briefly, reading over the passage is a bit like looking at a tree. You get the beauty of it and you can zoom in on some of the smaller parts because they're fascinating. But meditating on just a verse or two, chewing on it, sitting with it, repeating it in your mind, is like putting a leaf under a microscope. You can see the true living beauty right down to the finest detail. You would understand and see things, that you wouldn't see if you were looking at the whole tree. And it's tempting when you have a Bible plan, especially in such an achievement-orientated culture, to read your Bible, do the devotion, tick the box, job done, onto the next task of the day. I'm certainly guilty of doing that, but how often do you sit quietly, take your time, and meditate on God's word? By no means am I saying that reading large chunks of scripture is wrong. It's good to get a step back perspective of biblical narrative. But don't just read large sections of scripture just to say that you've completed a book. You read to understand, not to complete. Our intimacy with Jesus is infinitely more important than the religious act of completing your Bible. We are purchased by grace, not by reading the Bible 10 times. And again, that's not me saying don't read the whole of your Bible, but make the most of your Bible reading. Section 3, trees. Okay, let's look at verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. I absolutely love when God uses his creation as a comparison, especially trees. I'm training to be a tree surgeon, if you didn't know, so I really do love trees. But it's such a peaceful image. Do you ever stop and admire trees? They're amazing. Sometimes they're just absolutely huge and you have to stand there in awe of their massive size. Like, you think, how on earth has this tree got so big? And then you remember, it took years and years and years and years of growth. But it didn't just grow. It needed the right amount of nutrients in the soil, sunlight, carbon dioxide, and space to grow. Did you know that a large, mature oak tree cycles through about 100,000 litres of water annually? To put that into perspective, the average male, who doesn't drink beer and coffee all the time, so I guess not the average male, drinks 900, there's someone out there that drinks 900 litres of water per year. So that's a comparison for you. But anyway, the point is that in this psalm, God is saying that the person who meditates on his law day and night, someone reading, dwelling, chewing upon God's word, is like a tree planted by streams of water. We are the trees and God's word is the water. God knows what we need in life. God's word is a true sustenance that keeps us going. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, "Man shall not live off bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." My question to you is, how much are you drinking from that stream? Because if you want to become like that big, strong, firm oak tree that's rooted in God's word, then you need to spend time in God's word. I very much look up to the older and wiser Christians, especially the ones in this church, who have grown into those big, strong oak trees because they have spent hours and hours and hours in God's word. They root themselves in God's word and they get stronger each day. They've yielded their fruit in season, which is seen through their gentle nature. And although they wrinkle, their leaves don't wither. Oh, and don't worry, the tree analogy doesn't stop there. Did you know that a large oak tree produces between 100,000 and 120,000 litres of oxygen per year? Now, this might not be a direct link to the passage, but I certainly think it's a relevant point. As we spend time in God's word, it changes us to become people that are more like Christ. What happens when we're more like Christ? Other people notice it. We love them better, and they notice when we love them better. So just as a tree uses the inputs of water, carbon dioxide, and sunlight to produce oxygen and emits it into the atmosphere to make the planet better, as we are filled with God's word, we are to share it with those around us. We are to serve both our Christian brothers and sisters, but also the non-Christians in our lives. And because God is on our side, whatever we do that is in line with God's will prospers. We make choices, when we make wise choices, God will bless our efforts. And although our circumstances or the reactions of others may not always reflect it, our life will be blessed and we will bear fruit. So I guess my encouragement to you is this. God's word is a lamp unto your feet. It's there for your benefit, but not just for your benefit. It's there for your love, for your joy, for your peace, for your patience, for your kindness, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your gentleness, and for your self-control. And most importantly, it's to bring God's kingdom here on earth and to glorify God in all that you do. Let me pray to finish off. God, thank you so much that we have your word to guide us through life. Thank you that through your spirit we can understand your word and live it out in our lives. I pray that you would help us to faithfully walk with you and read our Bibles and show the love of you to others. In Jesus' name, amen.